Okay, so today I'm talking about a statistical approach to gravitational and time delays. And this talk is based on this paper that was submitted a few weeks ago. And after that, I'm getting many feedback from you. And first, I would like to thank you for or being interested in this paper. And so what is time delay? So I guess all of you know about this, but the time delay is the difference in the arrival time between multiple images. And this is really interesting because this gives you a way to measure the Hubble constant, because the time delay is proportional to the inverse of the Hubble constant. So, and all other parameters are basically observable. And if we assume the mass model of lens objects, then we can measure the Hubble constant without using the so-called distance ladder. So this will give you the direct determination of the Hubble constant. But the problem is that the Hubble constant from time delays degenerates with mass profile. And the most important degeneracy is the radial profile of the lens object. For instance, if we assume this form of the lens potential, then if we assume this lens potential, this is the potential equal R to alpha, then the time delay is described by this form, and this alpha equal 1 corresponds to the similar sum sphere case. So if we assume a steeper mass profile, then the time delay becomes larger. So this means that the derived Hubble constant depends on the assumed radial mass profile. So this is the most important degeneracy in considering the time delays. But this degeneracy, I want to note that this degeneracy can be broken if we know the magnification factor from some observations. For instance, if we observe the strong ranging of a type 1 supernovae, then this will give you the direct measurement of the magnification factor.
This is just the alpha here is just the slope at the images, right? Where the images are.
Yeah, basically the slope between the two images. So another way to break this degeneracy is using the fundamental relations. But in any case, these two methods are not quite practical at this point, so we have this very serious degeneracy. But the important thing is that the radial profile is not the whole story. So this is I think the very good example of this. So this is the cluster lens system, SDS system O4, and the time delay between this image A and B has been measured by in this paper. And and what they found is that the time delay between A and B is actually higher than what simple model predict. And they ascribed it to be a perturbations from the member galaxy of this cluster. So basically, I think the most important perturbation is coming from this. galaxy. So they said in this paper that the model fails because they neglected the perturbations from cluster member galaxies. So this indicates that even this kind of very small perturbation could be very important in time delays. So
by how much were the models failing for this case?
Well, the time delay between these two is about 40 days, but the simple model predicts the 20 or 30 days.
So they were failing by about, you said like 10 days or so, is that recent?
Really?
The smooth models were failing by about 10 or 20 days, is that what you said?
Yes, something like that.
And the density potentials for these galaxies is about that much, right? So velocity scale lenses, right? You know, the perturbers, presumably, there'll be little substructures whose depths will be very small compared to days, right?
Right. So questions I would like to ask here is the following. So first, how do time delays depend on mass models? And the next important question is that how does the model dependence change with image configurations? So I want to consider these questions in this talk. And so to address these questions, I take a statistical approach. So this is basically, so the strategy is the following. First, we define a reduced time delay that can be a measure of so how time delay depends on the lens potentials, meaning the how the time delay differ from those in simple isothermal mass models. And the compute this reduced time delay as a function of the image configuration that we characterize by two dimensionless quantities. Then a compute this reduced time delay, and finally we will construct a realistic probability distribution, something like this, a probability of distribution of time delay for a given image configuration. So first I define the reduced time delay by this form. So basically, this is the time delay between two images, and basically the reduced time delay is this time delay divided by the square difference of two images. So this is the distance from the center of lens galaxy to the image, and this is the distance factor, and we scale out this distance factor to make this reduced time delay a dimensionless form. And if we put this, if we put the definition of time delay to here, then we will get this form. And the reason I chose this form is that this equal to unity if the lens potential is exactly isothermal, so meaning when the lens potential is described by this form, potential equal R times some function of the angular component. But in general, the lens potential is not exactly the isothermal potential, and we also have the external perturbations. So in general, this quantity is not equal to unity. So in this sense, this reduced time delay can be a measure of the complexity of lens potential. And the On the other hand, if we look at this form, then so this is the, basically the quantity we can measure, and these two, the distances can also measure, and this is the cosmology term. So if we assume the underlying cosmology, then we can compute this reduced time delay from observed time delay. And on the other hand, this part describes the how the time delays depends on lens potentials. Then, in this sense, the this parameter relates observed time delay to mass models. So this is very important parameter I use in this talk. And the I compute this reduced time delay as a function of image configuration. And I characterize the image configuration by the following two parameters. So one is the asymmetry defined by this. So R is again the distance from the center of lens potential to the image position. And we have two images, so we have Rj and Ri, and the basically the asymmetry is the difference between Rj and Ri, and divided by Rj plus Ri, so that the this quantity is dimensionless. And the other parameter is the opening angle between, so basically this angle. And these two parameters are very good, very nice, because these two are first of all dimensionless. So these are invariant even if we change the Einstein radius of this lens system. So we can compare the lens systems with different angular, different Einstein radius. And the another good thing is that these two are model independent, meaning we can compute this purely from observed purely from the observation of lens galaxy and the images. So we don't have to perform we don't have to assume any mass model to compute this quantity. So this is the good thing.
Is the center of the lens always
well determined? Not always. No. So sometimes the lens galaxy is very faint, and it's really hard to determine where the center is. And so in that case, this parameter has very large errors. So what I want to do is to compute this reduced time delay for a given this image configuration. And so far, so I will do some Monte Carlo simulations for this, but the first I will show you some analytic results of this. So to show you how this reduced time delay depends on the image configuration. So for that purpose, I consider a multiple expansion of a lens potential of this form. So this is very general form with the n means the angular term, and the beta is basically the slope of this perturbation. And if we put this form to the definition of a reduced time delay, then I will get this form, and this Cn is the overall amplitude of lens potential, and so this term is basically always close to unity, because this Rj plus Ri is in most cases very close to the two-time Einstein ring radius. So basically, this function x determines how the reducer time delay depends on this image configuration, and this cosine term is the, so this is the position angle of this perturbation. So the so first of all, the we can see that the this so this term so this angular position angle, by changing the position angle, this cosine term can take from minus 1 to 1. So if the position angle is random, then by averaging many length systems, this perturbation always vanishes and the reduced time delay approaches to unity. So this means that so this is the main reason that this statistical approach is very powerful, meaning the any perturbations are basically any small perturbations are basically we can eliminate any perturbation by averaging many range systems.
So do you sum over different m, so over different multiple terms?
Yeah, if we have defined, you mean some this so multiple term, you mean, right? If we have the multiple term, then just we add this term again, and so basically the linear relationship. So
I don't understand how this works. On the, a few slides ago, you said that the reduced time delay was one for the isothermal case.
Right.
So, but now you're saying that if you average a bunch of lenses that are not isothermal, but have different delta values.
Yeah, so actually, so this, so if we change the radial slope of a lens potential, then in this description, you should put this n equals 0, right? Monopole term. It doesn't, radial profile is the monopole that doesn't depend on the angular position angle. So this, for that case, this n equals 0 and n equals 0. So you will leave the sum. So this argument does not hold for the n equals 0 case, because you change that term, do not have any position angle. So okay.
I still don't understand that though, because I mean, so is it, are you saying that basically, I mean, you get this, you're saying this goes to one if you average many lenses for any perturbations when they're not spherical, right? When there is asymmetry, but for any potential.
Yes.
Okay, but then it's what Phil said still holds, right? How do you then tell the difference to a spherical isothermal profile?
I think I was more worried about how is it that your average, say you had a population of lenses that all have beta equals 0.75, but with various multiple structures. It looks like you're averaging all of those together and coming out with reduced time delay of 1, even though the profile is never actually isothermal.
No, the beta describes the radial profile of the multiple. The
non-monopole. No, if you change the inner slope, then if first you include this term, then n equals 0 term, so 1 plus some 1 minus beta 1, something. And then perturbation comes next term, so. So the sum and from this equation we can derive some limiting behaviors of this function x. And
even you can write it down in that way, how can you ensure that the average actually vanishes? That will depend on if the phase, well, that's maybe your, what is it, delta or whatever. Yeah, if you say you have a systematic in the phase, then if your average actually, you know, it's not a zero.
Yeah, so that is the reason I put this sentence. So if the position angle is random, this is actually not the case for some. I'll show you later. And the limiting behavior of this function x and the so first I consider the r is approaching to zero. So zero means the very symmetric case. And I get this form and R, if the R is approaching to one means very asymmetric case in which the one image that is very close to the center of lens and the other very far from center, then I get this form. And when the R is very, very close to zero, then this term gets very large and large. So basically, the X becomes very large, and divergence occurs at, so meaning the divergence occurs at the symmetric limit. So that means the time delays becomes very sensitive to small perturbations if the two images are very symmetric. So this is what you can say from this analytic examination. And okay, so next I will do some Monte Carlo simulations to derive a realistic probability distributions of radius time delays. And I will do I will take the following steps. So first, I generate a lens potential from some assumed distribution of lens potential, and then put many sources in the source plane and compute image positions and derive radius time delays, and repeat this procedure for many different lens potential to construct the PDF. And I will include this. This is the magnification, basically the magnification bias. So in this way, I can incorporate the magnification bias and lensing bias, meaning this PDF is weighted by the biased cross sections. So because I put the source in the source plane rather than the image plane, and I include this weight term. So, these are input potentials I consider. So first, the primary lens galaxy, I assume the power of ellipsoid plus some higher order perturbation. So this is the input primary galaxy, and as you can see, this is basically R to alpha, and alpha is the slope of the mass profile. Alpha corresponds to the slope of mass profile, and alpha equal 1 is the singular sum sphere case. And I assume that the alpha has a Gaussian distribution with median 1.0 and the dispersion 0.15. So because so many studies have shown that the lens galaxies have on average very close to isomer. For example, these studies have shown that the lens galaxy is very close to isomer. So I use this input distribution, and also I include ellipticity of this. And so this is the higher order term, and this is consistent with the local observations of elliptical galaxies. And I also includes the external perturbations. So this is the famous external shear term, and I assume the amplitude of this size. And I also include the third order perturbation term, and this is basically the and square of the external shear with some scatter. And I also include the substructures so I basically use truncated singular sum sphere profiles for subhalos, and I distribute these subhalos according to the sort of CDM simulation, what CDM simulation predict. So I put all these.
Yes, all these different factors, they are independent of each other. External population, for example, and the primary lens, they could be also correlated in some sense. But then you assume they are.
Yeah, could be.
Well, it's.
How do you get this Y parameter? Is it assuming something about the redshift of the lens as well, or is it just where you get it from? I mean.
So this is the a typical external shear you can obtain from the n-body simulation, or this is also consistent with observation of many lenses.
But this, lens is from, quasar. This is from simulations or
what? Yeah, from both simulations and observations. Roughly consistent with this.
Okay. And where do you choose your truncation radius of the substructure? Is it
truncation radius is basically I chose the same truncated radius as the many people did. Mm-hmm. So basically take from for example Dallaro and Kozanek or something like that. So.
So are you assuming all these parameters are Gaussian?
Yeah, these are all Gaussian. This is in some sense log normal distribution, log normal. And this is from, this assumes some mass function. Okay, so first so before putting all these potentials, I include only each term to see how this perturbation affect the reduced time delay. And so for these two panels, I include only the external share, assuming the isothermal profile. And these two panels, I include only the third order external perturbation, and this time I only subhalos, and here I change I include the scatter of a radial slope alpha, and this shows the dependence on the asymmetry R, and this shows the dependence on the opening angle. So first, as you can see, the R, when the R is very close to zero, then we'll have very large scatter. And in this case, and this case also, and this case also. So basically, at very symmetric limit, any lens potentials can change the reduced time delay very drastically. So meaning at very symmetric case, the time delay depends very sensitively on lens potential. So it becomes very hard to get any information, for example, the Hubble constant or the mass profile from these time delays.
So these symmetric cases correspond to things like fold and cusp images, right?
Yeah, right.
And well, this is confusing to me, right? You know, Williams. So near folds and cusps, you know, there are these universality relations between relating the variables for the images.
Yeah, but the thing is that the
So is this reduced, like, this, that symbol, well, you know, so is that like the time delay like divided by a smooth time delay or something? Is that what that means?
This is divided by the distance. Square of difference of square of difference. So Rj squared minus Ri squared. So at the symmetric case, of course, the that time becomes also very small. And you know, time delay is also very small. So if you put the substructure on it, and the time delay coming from substructure dominates, so it changes the time delay very much. So. And the next you will see that the scatter mainly comes from the so scatter coming from the external shell is larger than coming from the higher order perturbation or subhalos. And but these two can also cause some significant changes in time delays. And here radial profile, radial slope. If you change the radial slope, it basically changes the reduced time delay rather uniformly, and the dependence on R or theta is not so strong compared with the external shell or other perturbations. So these are main so this is the main difference.
Sorry, in each of these panels, seems that you always have a median or average very close to one. So that means that there's no bias, right? It's only the scatter.
Yeah, actually, there is a bias here.
There's a bias,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll show you. Okay. So next, this is the what I obtained from the Monte Carlo simulation by putting the all lens potential. So this shows the probability. So this solid line shows the one sigma range of a reduced time delay for a given R, for given asymmetry, and this dashed line, 2 sigma, and this dotted line, 3 sigma. And so this upper panel shows the distribution for double lens, and this lower two panels show the a probability distribution for quad, four image lenses. And so as you can see, the scatter is smaller for double lens than quad lens.
Quad, are you talking about A, B, B, C? Do you include all?
Yeah, include all things.
Do they look similar or certain pairs, like why separate?
Yeah, you know, different pairs come different. So different pair have very different asymmetry or have different opening, in particular opening angle. So small pairs have very small opening angle, and if you have this kind of Einstein cross shape, the opening angle comes to here and or here. So different pairs comes in different part.
How do you do the Monte Carlo simulation? Do you actually, for your given realization of a potential, then
yes,
put a source and the source plane and solve for all the image positions, and then stick them into your
right
use Fanta equation?
Yeah. So first I generate a lens potential according to the PDF, and then put many sources in the source plane. And so each source have some 2 or 4 images, produce 2 or 4 images, and I compute the reduced time delay.
Is it true that
there
are only in this realization only 2 and 4 image systems? I can imagine that you can, because you have so many perturbations, so many external shears that you can actually generate higher order systems as well.
You mean the six image or something like that? Yeah, so sometimes I have that kind of image, but I just ignore those one and just compute PDF for only double and quad.
Okay. What fraction of your simulated systems are quads?
I actually don't remember the number, maybe the 30% or so.
So a little lower than the observed.
Well, so it depends on how you consider the magnification bias, right? So.
These things also depend a lot on what you say is the observed. Depends a lot on what length sample and so on.
Maybe somewhere between
30 and
30. Yeah,
it should
be between 5% to get 95%. Yeah, should be between 30. Okay, so quad has the larger scatter, and so as I said, the at R very symmetric limit, you will have very large scatter. And small, large opening angle ranges have smaller scatter. So.
But I mean, you're plotting on a logarithmic scale on the y-axis. You see that for the quads, they are systematically below one, where you are very sensitive in the log scale, while for the doubles you are above one, where you are not sensitive to the log scale, not as sensitive as below. So why are you plotting the y-axis in log scale, by the way? Is there a good reason for it?
Yeah, I thought I thought it's better. Just.
I mean, it's very hard to compare probabilities in a log scale, at least for me. I cannot do it in my hand.
Yeah, but you can do this. So this is larger than this one. Right?
So, in some sense, you're comparing how well an isothermal sphere or whatever isothermal model would do. Formally speaking, if you do this Monte Carlo simulation thing, you generate your systems, then you only calculate this from the image positions. What you would actually have to do is then fit that particular realization with that simplified isothermal model and see whether it formally gives a good fit. If it doesn't, then of course, in any observation, you would not say not kind of publish a reliable, it's not how it is, because formally speaking, it's a very bad fit. And that's not folded in here. So if you throw out all the systems that, let's say, formally do not give good fit, with reduced, with a simple model, I mean, how does it change things?
Yeah, but in this approach, I do not consider any mass model fitting, and just.
Well, in some sense, you do. I mean, you make a comparison between the simple model and some model with all these perturbations. You do this to a reduced time delay, but.
Yes.
Say that simple model might actually have formally very bad fit to your Monte Carlo realizations of these systems, and therefore you should not even consider them in your PDF, right? You cannot.
I think I should accept those models because the. So it depends on how you do statistics from this PDF, but the okay, so and the so interesting thing is that we have some systematic deviation from unity for some limiting case. For example, at very asymmetric case, you will have systematically larger time delay than unity, and the at very small opening angle, you will see systematic a lower time delay than the standard case. So this is one interesting thing, and the explanation for these behaviors is the following. So first, if we see the very symmetric case, this is very simple. I think if the inner slope is smaller, I mean the steeper than the isothermal profile, then you will have very symmetric case like this. But if the lens potential, lens galaxy is shallower than the isothermal profile, then you will have this kind of inner critical curve. And so this asymmetry parameter has some maximum value that corresponds to this inner critical curve. So this is very simple. And the other case, the very small opening, when the opening angle is very small, then so my explanation is this. So first the if we plot the number of pairs as a function of the opening angle, then it has this kind of very steep, very strong dependence on the opening angle. So this means if we have this kind of system, and if I put the external perturber at here, I mean from this direction, then external shear, the direction of external shear is something like this and this. So this makes the opening angle smaller. And we might also have the small opening angle pairs without any perturbation. But if we compare the number of this coming from the external perturbation and the intrinsic one, then because of this very steep function, we will have more system this than this. And because of this, if we put the external perturbations from this direction, this will decrease reduce time delay, I mean, for the given image configuration. So this basically decreases the reduced time delay. So this is the reason we see such kind of systematic decrease of reduced time delay. So okay. So now we have this probability distribution time delays. So we can compare this with some observations, and I will use these observed time delay systems to compare the PDF. So first I compare time delays with these probability distribution, projected probability distribution for a given asymmetry or given opening angle. And this red lines reduce time delays computed from observed time delay. And I assumed the Hubble constant of 0.73 to compute these red points. And so first you will see that the observed reduced time delay on average agree with the PDF, computed PDF. And the interesting thing is that this asymmetry dependence or the opening angle dependence also seen. For example, if you cause very symmetric limit, we'll have very large scatter also for observed time delays. And we might be seeing this decline of a latency time. So this is not quite significant, but we might be seeing this decline of time delay. And we can also, of course, compare the time delay with this four fixed asymmetry and the opening angle. And so by comparing this observed time delay with the PDF I computed, so I can constrain the Hubble constant. So basically, the idea is that here I assume this Hubble constant, but if I adapt the larger Hubble constant, then all points goes up. And if I assume the smaller Hubble constant, then all points goes down. So it becomes more and more inconsistent with this PDF. So this is the basic idea. And here I use basically all observed time delays except this one. So this is a cluster ranging, and this has very uncertain lens latitude. So except these two systems, I use basically all observed time delay. And for these two guys are known to lie in the cluster. So I include this kappa convergence coming from clusters to collect this environmental convergence. And the result is this is plotting a chi-square difference, basically the chi-square difference. And this solid line is the result by combining all systems. And this thin lines shows for each constant from each lens system. And by combining all the systems, I get this number. So,
what are the two straight curves?
This one?
Yes.
This one has minimum beyond. So these guys have very weak constant, because I guess these are only from has the time delay for only the very small opening angle pairs. So that have very broad PDF. So that's the reason.
So this still assumes that the lenses are isothermals plus all these perturbations of higher order. If you were expanding around a different radial profile for the monopole, you would get a different
picture. Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. So one should consider the systematic effects for this method. And what I showed here is the only statistical error, and some errors should come from these systematic errors. So first of all, the problem is the sample I use is very heterogeneous. So in particular, many of time delay quasars we now have are very extreme, in the sense that they have very large image image separations, or the very unique environment or something like that. So this is the really problem. So the another thing is that so we should consider whether the input distributions are really accurate or not. So for instance, the most important effect comes from the median inner slope of the lens galaxy. So I assume on average the galaxies have isothermal profile. But if it has some different profile from isothermal, then this scaling relation will apply. So we will have systematic shift of derived time delay. And the another important systematic effect is the lens galaxy environment. And the lens galaxy environment depends on the image separation of the lens systems. So this is my old paper from this, and this basically compute the distribution of environmental convergence or environmental shear, assuming this input distribution. So this original one is the distribution of environment for massive elliptical galaxies. And because of the ranging bias for image separation of one arcsecond ranges, you will have this slightly shifted distribution. But if you go the larger image separation, for instance, the 3 arcsecond, then you will have very distorted distribution, and you will have many systems that are very large, for example, larger than 0.1 systems. So this comes from the ranging bias coming from the convergence, environmental convergence. The reason is that this is the showing the image separation distribution, and this is some sort of original image separation distribution. And if you include the external convergence, then it will increase. First of all, it will increase the image separations. So it will move this point to here, and this also make the images brighter. So it will increase the magnification bias. So it will also increase the ranging probability. So basically this convergence move this point to upper right direction. So it has very significant effect at the tail of the image separation distribution, where this probability is steep decreasing function of data. So this basically tells you how to get around this effect. So one way to reduce the effect of lens galaxy environment is to just remove the all lens systems that have very large image separations, say 2 arcseconds or 3 arcseconds. So that is one way to get around this. And if we are quite sure of this distribution, then we can just incorporate this probability distribution in the Monte Carlo simulation. So, okay, so this is the conclusion of my talk. And using a very new statistical approach, we examined the dependence of time delays on various lens potentials as a function of image configuration. And what I found is that the time delays are less dependent on models if it is asymmetric, or it has larger opening angle, or it is double lens rather than the quad lens. So these are somewhat more typical lens systems we will see. But so people tend to observe the very extreme strange lenses. For example, people tend to prefer the quad lens rather than the double lens because they have many constraints or something. But the conclusion here is that these kinds of lenses have at least statistically less dependent on mass models. So go ahead and monitor these kind of somewhat boring lenses. So they might not be good for individual studies, but these are good for statistical studies. So this is a conclusion. And another conclusion here is that using my probability distribution, I derived the Hubble constant to be this value. And of course, we can turn the problem around, and assuming the Hubble constant, we can derive the nearly a thermal lens profile. So this basically tells you that if we assume the standard value of Hubble constant, say 72, then we should get the lens profile that is very close to a thermal. So this is another conclusion, and finally I want to emphasize that it's really important to construct a very clean, well-defined statistical sample for this statistical method to be very powerful. So for instance, future large-scale surveys like LST is really good for this kind of statistical study or time delays. That's all. Thank you.
And can I explain the problem I had with the error being that small? Let's just suppose that Leon and Tommaso go out to the Keck and measure velocity dispersions for all of those 15 time delay quasars.
Okay.
Now, and then suppose that they use those velocity dispersions to correct the profile slope and hence the value of H naught. I would bet a lot of money that the resulting distribution of H naught, although it would be tighter, I would bet a lot of money that it would have a scatter of about 5%, if only because the velocity dispersion measurements are probably only accurate anyway, and that translates directly into an error in H naught. Now, given that, I think there's a problem, because either I lose a lot of money, or the error of 3 there is, the error of 5% there is too small, or velocity dispersion measurements don't help you constrain H naught, and I believe that they do. So that's the basic problem I have.
Yeah, I think the one reason I got this very small error by is that I input the some prior on lens potential, such as the distribution of external shear, something like that. So this is.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you then went out and measured all the environments, so you measured all the galaxies in the vicinity and worked out what the external convergence and shear was, and used that then to correct the value of H naught.
Okay.
I would still bet that you would get a scatter of about 5%. So, it sort of worries me that you get the scatter of 5% before you go and do the observation.
If you multiply enough broad thousands, you always get.
I suppose that's another way of putting it.
But it doesn't say that they're statistically consistent with each other, which is a different question, right? If you have one Gaussian here and one Gaussian there, they're completely inconsistent with each other. Yeah. And if not, you multiply them, you get a very narrow distribution in the middle. And formally speaking, it has a very small error, whereas, of course, you could never ever do this.
Yeah, well, I actually tried in reverse by expanding all the errors to what I thought were the right ones, and I get 67 plus or minus 3. But I worry about taking that 5% literally.
Another issue is, if you can go back to where you show the distribution with the lenses all plotted on the asymmetry and the opening.
This one?
Yeah. See, if you take a particular lens at a given opening angle and a given asymmetry, right, then in principle you say that this reduced time delay for that particular lens has this, has probability distribution, which is a slice. But again, I mean, I come back to the same point. I mean, if you actually then take the particular model, does it only give a good fit? Because if you actually, for every lens, only plot those simulated systems that only give a good fit to your data, then your distribution function will become much narrower. I mean, and so all these
problem of individual fitting is that the, so for example, if I take double lens, then it have only a very few constraints. So it's very hard to determine.
It gives you the correct probability distribution. This is not the correct probability distribution function for these individual systems. And that's why you get an enormously broad distribution function. If you actually go out to the individual lenses and you take your particular model and you vary everything and you fit it and you get your probability distribution function, you marginalize over it, you get your distributions of H naught, it will be much more narrow than what you have now, and you'll probably see that they're mutually inconsistent with each other, because that's what the whole community is finding for years. So, and...
Yeah, that is one way.
And I wonder if you then multiply them all together, when you still get the same answer or not. Because, I mean, you basically say that every lens has the same R and the same theta are identical, right? Statistically speaking, they have the same probability distribution function. If R and theta are the same, it doesn't matter what the system looks in the sky, you say they have the same PDF, and I'm saying it's not the case. Because if you look at them, they're very different, and they will give you very different mass models if you actually go out and fit them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is... something doesn't work in the statistics.
But isn't the point that you could still draw the best fitting mass model from the very flexible model?
No, because it would not fit the image positions and whatever you want to fit, let's say the galaxy position. If Ri and theta I are the same here, I mean, it basically means in this PDF that basically means that you have the same PDF in this framework here. Because I'm saying that's not the case. Because you cannot capture a lens in only those two numbers, right? Basically tells you you can capture any lens in two numbers, and any lens with those with equal numbers are the same lenses, and have the same PDFs. I don't think that's the case. So you actually artificially broaden your PDFs by doing this, because you're throwing away all the observations you've done so far, right? So you're basically throwing away all the information you know about these lenses, you reduce every observation to two numbers, and you draw your conclusion based on that.
Yeah, yeah,
tells
but
you that all the observations are useless.
Yeah, but the usual statistics is something we should, I mean, fitting for some lens we have many constraints and others are not. So including those kind of things might bias the results. So I mean, in doing the statistics, one has to take as simple approach as possible and to avoid.
I mean, you could in principle take this approach where you have your very your model, which is extremely free to do whatever you want, right? And then kind of do a Monte Carlo approach using that kind of family of models, and then trying to find through some Markov chains all the models that give statistically a reasonably fit to your observed data, and that creates a PDF, a probability distribution function of H naught for every individual system, which formally, I mean, within in a certain width, agrees with all your measured data so far of each individual system. That's the correct approach. And then you'll see that it's extremely narrow for each of them and probably not completely consistent. We can tell it because we know that if you fit individual systems with singularized from ellipsoids, you get formally completely disjoint probability distribution functions.
Yeah, I think
These models are more flexible than isothermal ellipses. They're allowed to have a range of profile slopes, a range of angular slopes.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that it would be perfectly possible to model each one of these systems using the flexible model that goes into the mm-hmm. I mean, there's economic shearing convergence, and there's variable slope, and there's angular structure. I mean, are we really that stuck with the time delay? We're trying to model each time delay, we can't fit it with all of that.
I mean, it's every combination of possibility in each of these systems. I mean, that's basically true. It's assuming any combination is possible of the parameters in your model, but which is not necessarily the case.
There are priors, yeah, and they're
essential. So can I, sorry to okay, go one slide back?
Back?
I know. Keep it here. It's the same. I'm still bothering about the log. Since, for example, if you look at the bubbles,
yes.
So the mean is around 1, and if you look at the 3 sigma, the lower 3 sigma, it's at around 0.5. So in linear, it's a difference of 50%. Then if you go to the quad, the mean is around 0.8, the lower one is at 0.3, so the difference is again 50%. So in linear, I'm not sure if you would plot linear if it's really true that the quads are that more scattered than the doubles. Maybe it's a detail, but I'm always bothered by people plotting too much in their log, so.
Okay.
Also, I mean, it must matter. In your conclusions, you said that doubles were better than quads, but it must matter that the quads you have much less. I mean, the error bars are much smaller, right? So the points, each point is more significant in this sense, right? So I'm not sure whether your conclusion that doubles are necessarily better to observe is actually really true. Looking at these plots.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, under the assumption that the error bar is same.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My guess about the small error on each knob is that it's coming from the fact that you're only fitting for one global parameter. So when you put in all these distributions to build the PDF, such as the slack's result that the slope is 2 plus or minus something small, if you were to allow that 2 to be a global parameter as well, and simultaneously fit for the properties of galaxies, the population of lens galaxies at the same foundation, then maybe this, the error bar would expand.
Maybe.